WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The FBI has released new surveillance video of the suspect in the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk at Utah University, jumping off the roof of a building. CBS's Anna Schechter.
That video shows just how quickly he was able to escape the area.
Bizarre start to the trial of the man accused of trying to kill President Trump at his golf course in Florida. CBS's Katrina Kaufman says the judge stepped in.
Partway through, she had stopped him, tried to put him back on track, and told him he couldn't make a mockery of this courthouse.
Ryan Ruth's representing himself. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration's bid to prevent some immigrant children from enrolling in an early childhood program. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
The court found that, in fact, the proper procedures were not used to stop this, and it's not clear under the currently written law that, in fact, these immigrants should not have access to Head Start.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A safe haven baby box may soon be coming to central Wisconsin thanks to the efforts of a local resident. Linda Casper lives in Grand Rapids, and she brought the idea to Jeff Penscover.
And then, of course, he knew who to connect me to.
Penscover is an older person for the city of Wisconsin Rapids and also serves on the Wood County Board of Supervisors. He connected Casper with Sue Smith. She's the Wood County Health Officer and Director of the Health Department. Smith said the idea of installing a safe haven baby box in Wood County aligns with her own beliefs.
I recall a sad situation in Wood County around 2019 with a baby being found. And if this saves one baby, it is so going to be worth the effort.
Just having the box doesn't mean it will inevitably be used to surrender an infant. Casper says when the door is opened, there's information inside that offers additional options.
They can talk to someone on the hotline. Then they can go to a police department if they feel comfortable with that, or go inside the fire department, or go to a hospital, and then they could do a face-to-face.
There are 7 baby boxes in Wisconsin, but the closest ones are in Reedsburg or Green Bay, and the rest are around Milwaukee.
It's going to serve the greater central Wisconsin area.
The proposal will come before the city council for a vote this fall.
If it fails here in Wisconsin Rapids, we're going to try for Stevens Point or Marshfield or Wausau.
Casper's team would like to make this a reality in central Wisconsin.
A baby changes everything. A lot of joy can be brought, but, you know, if that person just feels they can't do it, the option will be there for them.
Working with city officials has been rewarding, and Casper encourages others to not be afraid to share their ideas.
There's a lot of good things that can happen from a small seed.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Brewers and the Cardinals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers back home and open a weekend series tonight against the St. Louis Cardinals. Milwaukee trying to snap a 3-game losing streak after being swept by the Rangers in Texas. The crew had the night off, so some of the players, including Bryce Terang, Sal Frelick, and Caleb Durbin, were at the Packers game. It was a good one. Green Bay beat the Commanders 27-18. Quarterback Jordan Love on winning 2 games in 4 days.
To start the season off 2-0 against 2 really good teams, you know, big playoff teams last year, it feels good. So couldn't have, you know, started the season off on a better note. So it's one thing that we just got to keep building on, but it feels great right now.
A setback for Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed, who suffered a broken collarbone. He's expected to be out 8 weeks. College football tomorrow, the Badgers at Alabama. Kickoff 11 a.m. The last time Wisconsin beat the Crimson Tide was November of 1928. Final score 15-0. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise partly sunny skies, and another spectacular September day with a high of 79. Tonight, an isolated shower or storm possible after midnight, a low near 60. On Saturday, partly sunny and warm, a high of 82. Right now, it's 57.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, federal cuts are threatening food share programs across the country, but one county in Wisconsin is working to keep them alive. Wisconsin Watch journalist Bennett Goldstein is our guest. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is Friday, September 12th, 2025. It is another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're listening instead as a podcast or through the website or watching us on social media, that counts just as much. We love having all of you here to wrap up the work week. I got a question for you, and it's actually not about last night's Packer game. It's, would you like to go to at least one more Milwaukee Brewers game? Stick around. The key word for Free Ticket Friday is coming up in less than 15 minutes. Coming up on the program today, President Trump finally approves disaster relief for flash flood victims in southeast Wisconsin, but only after telling another lie about the 2020 election. We'll talk to Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil at 6:22 about the ongoing effort to tone down the violent rhetoric in the wake of this week's political violence. We'll ask former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel at 7:22 to make it make sense. The same U.S. Supreme Court that says race cannot be a consideration for college admissions says race can be an issue in deciding whether law enforcement can pull over, harass, or even detain people they only suspect of not being citizens. We'll ask journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze at 7:35 about the coverage of the Charlie Kirk murder, especially the double standard that accompanies the sane washing taking place about Kirk's place in American political discourse. Just after 8 a.m., we're going to ask Dr. Kristen Lyerly about not a doctor, Robert Kennedy Jr., and the misinformation he's spreading about autism and Tylenol. And Mike Clemens will help us review last night's Packers win over Washington, 27-18, a great game, but comes with at least one noteworthy injury as well. Along the way, of course, you can follow us in the comment sections on Facebook and YouTube for Up North News or for Civic Media. Put something there, a question or a comment. We may pop it up on screen and respond to it. And of course, the best way to get in touch with us is through the Civic Media app. And there, it's got a text feature, and it also has a voice note feature where you can just hit voice note and record us a little message. And again, as always, if you heard everything there and you know you're not going to get to it this morning, catch it over the weekend by subscribing to us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify. And as long as you're online at that point, you should also sign up for our Up North News newsletters. There's a daily one that our new newsletter editor, Ellie, is putting together, and then a Sunday morning one with a focus on Wisconsin politics. Ellie's newsletter today includes stories on Wisconsin breweries and beer gardens that welcome dogs. You want to take your pup for a pint? And nine of Wisconsin's prettiest autumn drives. It is definitely time to start thinking about where you want to go on the weekend if you get some free time and maybe you want to do a little road tripping. So again, sign up for that in our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Down to Madison we go. In Studio A2, we find Parker Olson, who, like a lot of us, stayed up a little bit past our bedtime But by and large, it was worth it, Mr. Olson. Would you agree?
Oh, I would definitely agree. It was a good cause, supporting the Packers. It always is a good cause. You have to support your Packers. This is why we're fans, Pat.
Your support can sometimes get to be a little emotional, and that's why I would like to have, for everybody's benefit, a dramatic reinterpretation. If you could go back in time about 5-6 minutes or so, when you heard off air that when Jaden Reed went down with that injury in the end zone, you did not know until 5 minutes ago. No. He broke his collarbone.
No, I didn't. I was unaware. I'm still sad. This is not good. But we don't have a wide receiver. We don't have wide receiver one. We don't have a – so it doesn't – I don't think it matters that much for the team, but it is obviously nice. I like Jaden Reed.
Jaden Reed's great. Yeah. But the – I'm not – I don't know. I was going to say the hero of the game, the surprise of the game, the breakout of the game, tight end Tucker Kraft.
Okay.
Holy cow. He's good.
Tucker Kraft is quite possibly my favorite football player of all time. Mm-hmm. He just like kind of epitomizes what I think of football, like good football. Because when I think football, I think very Midwestern. I think like down and dirty, run the ball, tight end, big tight ends blocking. But he can catch too, which is really cool. And he's just so fun. Isn't he awesome?
Oh my God. He is. And the thing is, and again, I'm not doing fantasy football this year. I've done it in the past, so I know that one of the difficult things is, it's one thing to have your quarterback and who's going to be your wide receiver, who's going to be your running back. Tight ends are a little tougher deal because they're a combination of players, basically.
Yeah.
And you know, if you get the maybe two, maybe three good ones on the team, you know, you're doing okay, but beyond that, it's tough. So anybody who has Tucker Kraft and then started him yesterday, they're happy campers because he had quite the breakout performance.
Unlike I, who started Matthew Golden, who had a whopping 1.5 points. I'm happy I drafted him. I probably shouldn't be starting him, though.
It was, I want to say it was a good thing that Jordan Love tried to go deep as often as he did. He's got a cannon.
Yeah.
It's just that a lot of them weren't connecting, but at no point was I looking going, oh, he's off the mark or the receivers are off the mark. Yeah. There was some good pass defense by Washington last night.
Yeah, true too. Packers defense, though, was absolutely incredible. They haven't given up 100 yards total yet rushing. I think it was 51 to the Lions and 46 last night to the Commanders. And Keyshawn Nixon had 5 pass breakups last night. That's ridiculous.
Yes. Yep. And, you know, the Commanders quarterback, Jaden Daniels, he's really good. He was surprisingly good last year, his first year as a starter. And so it actually was a pretty big deal that the pass rush kept his numbers unusually low. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it all finished with a 27-18 win. We'll have more to say about it throughout the course of the morning here. But the other thing to know is that the Packers now, they will not be playing this Sunday, obviously. So get out and about if you got to do anything, because the Packers now have 9 days off before the next game.
The mini bye.
It'll be Sunday, September 21st at Cleveland, and a noon start. And you can hear it across several Civic Media radio stations.
Uh-oh.
What's that?
My uncle is a Browns fan.
Uh-oh. Oh. Well,
that'll be fun.
Will you watch the game together?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. You've also got the Wisconsin Badgers football team in Alabama for the first time, playing tomorrow. Kickoff at 11, pregame at 9 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. And I heard Mike Clemens saying before, you know, it's been a long time since the Badgers beat Alabama in 1928. Well, I looked it up, and I mean, the teams have only played twice before. You know, there was the first game in Madison, 1928. The Badgers win 15-0, and the other was in 2015 at AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys, when Alabama beat Wisconsin 35-17. So not a deep history.
No, which is, you know what? That's what I want, though, that this shouldn't be a game that happens very often.
especially when the Badgers are like big time underdogs, but that could make the game that much more fun to watch and or listen to. And the Brewers were off yesterday. They will be taking on the St. Louis Cardinals. Coverage begins tonight at 6:35 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. So what do you say we just get to that free ticket Friday keyword right about No.
That's a good catch. We should do that.
All right. So the deal on Free Ticket Friday is pretty simple. Use that Civic Media app. Call up one of the stations where you hear the show. Use the text feature. Text us a keyword. And then do it again throughout the course of the day, different keywords on different shows. And then among all those statewide entries, one will be plucked out to win four great seats to a specific Brewers game. For today, the tickets are for the game next Thursday night against the Anaheim Angels. All right. So you got to be able to go to that game next Thursday night. You got to be able to get and use electronic tickets on your phone. And if that all applies to you, the keyword until 9 o'clock this morning is catch. C-A-T-C-H, catch, like catch a ball. Catch is the keyword between now and nine. You can start texting that in and then listen to more keywords throughout the course of the day for your chance to win on this Free Ticket Friday. Okay, as mentioned, President Donald Trump was very full of himself yesterday, putting out word on his tiny social media account that he had graciously agreed to something like $30 million in emergency disaster relief for flash flood victims in southeast Wisconsin. That's a good thing. It provides certainty for people who have been putting off getting bids and making plans for fixing the damage because thousands of homes were affected by the flash flooding. But of course, he couldn't just leave it at that. It included a line in his tweet about, that Wisconsin, we won big there in 2016, 2020, and 2024, and I'm happy to deliver for the state of Wisconsin. You didn't win in 2020. Again, he's still putting the big lie out there. But at least the funding has been okayed. Another note that I wanted to pass along actually comes out of Brazil, where a panel of Supreme Court justices sentenced the former president, Jair Bolsonaro, to 27 years in prison Thursday, after convicting him of attempting a coup to remain in office despite his 2022 electoral defeat. Bolsonaro was an army captain who became the country's first right-wing president and has always denied any wrongdoing. He can try to appeal the ruling of the five justices to all 11 justices. He's currently under house arrest. Bolsonaro was convicted on charges of attempting to use the military to kill his rival who defeated him in that 2022 election. That would be the current president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Bolsonaro's co-conspirators, three generals and an admiral, were also sentenced for their roles. So because Bolsonaro was a right-winger who would use the military for personal power, you can see where this is going with our own president who attempted a coup, right? Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the administration, quote, will respond accordingly to this witch hunt. And Trump has already applied a 50% tariff on imported Brazilian goods, which it said was in reaction to the process against Bolsonaro. So they're basically admitting that your prices are going to go up for any Brazilian goods for personal and political spite. Is this some abstract thing for Wisconsin? Not if you grow soybeans or have anything to do with a bunch of other exports. Because Trump's made-up trade war with China means, as we learned yesterday from Sean O'Malley talking about your money in the markets, China has not yet placed a single order for U.S. soybeans this season. They bought billions of dollars worth last year. Where's China going for those soybeans? Yeah, Brazil. One of the four justices who voted to convict yesterday said Bolsonaro was the instigator, the leader of an organization that orchestrated every possible move to maintain or seize power. Don't doubt for a moment that their inspiration came from watching Trump less than 2 years earlier orchestrate and instigate an attempted coup with fake electors, undermining election credibility, trying to strong-arm state officials to falsify election results, flood the courts with meritless lawsuits, and when all that failed, summon a mob, that included Derek Van Orden, and whip it into a violent frenzy. It fell short. Bolsonaro came a little bit closer. Now, in the good old days, you could understandably say, well, the Brazil case is different in that he plotted to kill his opponent, except that Trump has now appointed Supreme Court justices who were literally asking if he could use SEAL Team 6 to kill an opponent, and they answered, sure, why not, so long as he feels it's part of his official duties. So the lesson to draw is simple. Voters can restore a democracy and defeat authoritarians, but expect resistance again. And so this time, be ready to defend our government and our democracy with real consequences. for anyone who tries to plot the next coup against our nation. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Guess who's watching Rob Finnerty on Newsmax? President Trump is. He even says Finnerty's show is so terrific. Millions are joining President Trump to watch Finnerty every night at 8 p.m. Eastern on Newsmax. All this week, Rob looks at the media's war on President Trump. Rob gives you the facts about the National Guard in cities like New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. He tells you the real truth about the Jeffrey Epstein files. And he reveals the big media's agenda on Trump's health. You need to watch Rob Finnerty on Newsmax. Check out your local cable system. Newsmax is on all major systems. Or download the free Newsmax app. It costs you nothing, and you can watch in minutes. Finnerty is the fastest-growing primetime news show in America. Find out why even President Trump is tuning in. More than 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for news they can trust. Because we are real news for real people.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's 6:22 now on this Friday morning, and Courier Newsroom's national political editor, Kia Vakil, is with us now. Kia, how are you today?
I'm all right, Pat.
As can be expected, basically,
yeah,
right?
You know, my brain's in about 11 million different places, but, you know, doing all right.
Yeah. For folks that don't follow regularly, Kia is, as national political editor, he sees a lot of the copy that's written and the videos that are put out by all of the various state-based outlets of Courier Newsroom. Up North News is one of them. And so not only is he seeing all of the events of the week through a state lens, but he's seen multiple versions of them. And Kia, I know one of the themes that we have talked about behind the scenes here is about toning down the rhetoric, which, yes, in Wisconsin, we've acknowledged is a little tougher because of the language of Congressman Derek Van Orden. But setting that aside, I feel like by and large, much of the nation remains unified behind the notion of don't take an already volatile situation and make it worse with politics right now.
Yeah, I think if you went out and surveyed 100 people in person, you'd probably get 80, 90% agreement on that. I think the problem is like online is a different story because the social media algorithms that, you know, have been created to just bring out the worst in people, and then amplify that to everyone, really suggest otherwise. They suggest that everyone in the whole country on the right and even some on the left are frothing at the mouth right now and are celebrating this and are jazzed and think, you know, by celebrating this, we mean, you know, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, obviously. And
right.
It's, I tend to think, you know, this is an instance where the reaction online is not at all mirrored by what most people believe, you know, in their day-to-day life and people who aren't terminally online. But yeah, it's, I think we've seen most elected officials, certainly every Democratic elected official I've seen has condemned this and, you know, called for toning down the rhetoric and less, no political violence. I've seen a lot of Republicans do the same. Not all, you know, we have a man in the White House who has already tried to pin this on the radical left, even though we have literally no information about who the shooter is. Regardless, assassinating someone for their political beliefs is not a thing that we want to see happen in the U.S. I don't agree with Charlie. I didn't agree with Charlie Kirk on much of anything. Maybe not anything at all, but watching, and I made the mistake of watching the video, and it was horrific. And it does not lead anywhere good to have these sorts of things happen to conservatives, liberals, anyone, frankly. And to have the handful of lawmakers or activists or just fringe accounts online fueling hate and division and calling for war or revenge is terrifying. You know, Derek Van Orden, you mentioned, he's been one of the more egregious ones I've seen. And, you know, we're reporters. He clearly does not like us. He does not like Democrats. He does not like trans people. There's a whole lot of people he doesn't like, and he's tried to blame this on. And there's one person who deserves blame, and it's the person who shot Charlie Kirk. And, you know, it's just a really sad state of affairs that this is where we are. Just like it was sad when Melissa Horton got killed in Minnesota a couple months ago, and Governor Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, the governor's residence was firebombed in the spring. And it's a little terrifying. It feels like we're going through a period of time where political violence is normalized. And, you know, again, I agree with Charlie Kirk on nothing. He did not deserve to get shot in the neck and get killed that way. No one deserves that. It's just terrifying that that's where we are as a body politic right now.
I'm sure I'm going to bring this up in just over an hour with our Week in Review panel when we talk about media coverage. But one thing I want to put out there, social media wise, and we refer to Twitter, now X, as a dumpster fire, and so much of social media can be garbage. But I have always said from the very beginning that these sites, YouTube and others, have to and must do a better job of guarding against graphic footage being shared so readily. That was my first exposure to it, was the what's called the auto roll feature, so that as you're scrolling down through your feed, there's the video right there. Not an option, not a warning screen or anything like that. And I hear these companies say, well, we're too big. We can't possibly do that. Well, then there's something wrong here that needs to be fixed. I know people like instant gratification on media, but our whole role as journalists, you know, is in part gatekeeper to say, this is too graphic to share, for example. And so I'm using up your time on my soapbox, but when you talked about seeing it, same here given no option one way or the other.
Yeah. And I wish I hadn't seen it. I've replayed it in my head a lot of times today. It's not the first clip of someone being killed I've seen on X, unfortunately. There's no shortage of those clips over the last several years. They're all horrifying. Every one of them feels like it chips away at our humanity a little bit, whether it's someone I like or agree with or know or don't know. It's all horrifying. And yeah, I think these companies just in every single way are just catastrophically responsible for a lot of where we're at politically. A lot of politicians are as well. But, you know, I think the way we just treat human life with such callous disregard at this point, a lot of it can be tied to social media and both what it incentivizes and then what it amplifies to people, especially in moments like this.
It really, again, comes down to something that we've been talking about since the start of Courier Newsroom and Up North News, and that is looking for those trusted sources, fact-based, credible, and frankly, folks who aren't going to put that kind of stuff right in front of you. There are other ways to inform without having to use shock value, and we are very fortunate to have you amongst others as our editors to keep us on the straight and normal for that path. Kia Vakil, Career Newsroom's national political editor, thanks for the visit. I hope you have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too, Pat.
Back with today's history lesson in just a moment. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Simple question for you on a Friday. If you had a bill go from $400 a year to $7,000 a year, and it was a service you had to have, would you be upset? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday, and that's exactly what's happening to some of our Wisconsin livestock marketers, as well as those they depend on to move livestock. It's a proposed change within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and the livestock industry wants to respond. Details on the way.
Farmers and ranchers across the country trust Can-Am because of how they build, support, and stand behind their machines. Now they're backing that trust with even more. Get 24 months of coverage when you purchase select Defender and Outlander models through the Can-Am Agricultural and Business Program. That's how confident they are in the durability of their units. That's not all. You also get a rebate up to $3,500. Give your fleet the upgrade it deserves. Visit the Can-Am website to learn more about the program. Offer ends October 31st. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
The increases being proposed by the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection range from 83% to more than 1,600% increase on fees charged of livestock markets, livestock dealers, and livestock truckers. Kurt Larson, president and CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Association, says the bottom line, it's not fair, and it needs to be shared expense.
You know, to be quite honest, it's not really something that the is producer driven. It's really more consumer driven. And that's where a lot of the neighboring states have said, hey, you know, this needs to be funded by more than just the producer side, that we need to put some shared funding into this thing to make sure it's successful and we can cover all the work that needs to be done, because it's a big bill to put all on the shoulders of the producers.
Kurt Larson, President, CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Association. There are two additional hearings on this subject coming up next week. They're being held face-to-face and virtual. Larson says it's critically important that all Wisconsin livestock operators and those that serve the industry chime in on these proposed fee increases.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. By the way, that story with Kurt Larson from the Equity Livestock Sales Cooperative is one of our top five that you tapped into at MidwestFarmReport.com. Circle back and check out the rest on our playlist. That's a look at food news on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbins. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise partly sunny skies and another spectacular September day with a high of 79. Tonight, an isolated shower or storm possible after midnight, a low near 60. On Saturday, partly sunny and warm, a high of 82. Right now, it's 57.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
And welcome back to our True Crime Podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClearyBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I'll be on a covert operation. But we've put together a Best of Green Bay show featuring Dan Marcus, Eric Westfall, and Laura McKenna. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Midnight at the Oasis. Send your camel to bed.
You know, there's admittedly not a lot of female artists that fit right there on the Yacht Rock playlist, but Maria Muldaur, right there with something like How Smooth is Midnight at the Oasis. Maria Muldaur has a birthday today. She turns 83 years old today. Welcome to today's history lesson on a Yacht Rock Friday, where we cannot set sail, as the Kreitlow Yacht Rock pontoon does every Friday here on A Sea of Sarcasm, without Greg Bach joining us as well. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Hello, everybody. I'm in charge of poop deck.
How are you? Did you stay up late for the whole game?
I stayed up late for none of the game. I went to bed very early because yesterday was a very long day, and then I came home, and one of the, I'll bring it up again. One of the things about using the CPAP now is when you do fall asleep on the couch, it's no longer like, oh God. It's like, no, I'm actually just really tired. I need to go to bed.
Yes. Well, you got to get that rest where you can. And I'm always thankful when the Packers get comfortably to a point, as they did early in the fourth quarter, where it's like, all right, this is looking good. And if they blow this, I don't want to be awake to watch it anyway. I'll just see it in the morning. So it worked out all right. Yeah. Let's see. Today's history lesson includes the Constitutional Convention. This day in 1787 is when Delegate George Mason suggested adding a Bill of Rights to the Constitution, but the motion was defeated. They later became the first 10 amendments to the Constitution 4 years later. All right, yes, Mr. Bond.
I was going to say, Pat, really quick, fun fact.
Yes.
The word amendment comes from the word amend, which means to change, which means you can change the Constitution if you wanted to. I'm just putting that out there. Fun fact, English.
Yes, we really could. Oh, well-regulated militia. Yeah, okay. So we're getting to the part of the history lesson now, here in mid-September, with a lot of TV premieres. And, you know, you don't have the catchy theme song so much as you do, you know, or did back in the olden days, like this iconic theme from a show that premiered on NBC this day in 1959.
Oh. Yeah!
Bonanza premiered on September 12th, 1959. It was the first regularly scheduled TV program presented in color. And again, we make so much of this about generations, but...
Hold on. Don't get that look, Parker, looking off into the middle distance.
Like, that's the one.
What did you have? Did you just look at drawings upon the screen back in the day? How did you take in your television entertainment?
They must have had to read the newspaper to be entertained.
Nobody tell Parker about the days when only radio was the medium of entertainment.
Yes, and then we went from black and white to color, but we see that still in... you just talked about watching Hogan's Heroes, and the first season was in black and white. The first season of Gilligan's Island was in black and white, so you can always see where the dividing line is for all these. Why the Flintstones were in black and white initially, I don't know. That one doesn't seem to make sense to me. But
they ran out of pencils.
Yes. Bonanza, anyway, was set in the 1860s and centered on the wealthy Cartwright family who lived in the vicinity of Virginia City, Nevada, bordering Lake Tahoe. You probably know it better as Yellowstone. They just added more sex and violence later.
The Duttons before the Duttons. So Bonanza is another Yellowstone prequel series.
Yes, it's a, that Taylor Sheridan, I mean, knew so, what he was doing. You know, his
60-year-old white man around the country, like, I knew it.
I can't see Hassan Little Joe saying, you know, take him to the train station. It just doesn't work that way. Another premiere. Let's move up to 1966. This was another NBC premiere and a theme everybody knows.
Here we come, walk down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys.
So there was the four actors chosen to portray a pop band based on the Beatles. Mm-hmm. While the Monkees are a fictional band, they did become very real and eventually played on their own recordings, but not in the beginning. It was studio musicians mm-hmm. prior to that.
And legendary songwriters writing for them, too, including Neil Sedaka, Carole King, Neil Diamond.
Yes.
And fun fact, and I've mentioned this before, it was the first concert I ever went to in 1986 for the Monkees' 20th anniversary tour.
Ooh.
With a little-known artist, up-and-coming. No one, he's kind of faded into the distance as in the past, like, 10 years. Mm-hmm. Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, never heard of him.
Yeah.
Leash puts on YouTube, and Little Joe would later go on to become Pa Engels. Yes.
He just really stuck in that old day. Like, he's like, just... Cast me in anything in the 19th century. That's my sweet spot.
Yep. Hey, it worked. One more premiere to talk about. Taxi premiered on ABC this day in 1978. Oh, I struck a nerve with Greg.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. Is play this an Oh, I Love Taxi or an Oh, I Feel Old?
Are we going to play the theme?
I didn't cue it up. No,
I
know. Sorry.
That's fine. That's, okay. I believe that Taxi has the greatest theme song ever. Like, Barney really? Miller is great.
We had this fight last year, Greg. Oh, I'm sorry. Taxi had the worst TV theme ever. There was nothing about it that sounded like a comedy. It was like you were expecting, you know, the cast of you know, some other serious drama show to come in. Now like here's where Greg tells me I'm wrong.
Yeah. Like The Bear or something. I don't know.
I
don't know why, like, you just can't find nuance in things and, like, art and the fact that a New York taxi cab driver in the 70s, that was hard work, man.
It was.
That was hard work. And then you came to your little space and you found joy and levity, but you still had to go back into the cold world mm-hmm. and deal with people. I think that theme song is perfect.
I have the theme song if we would like.
Bring it. I would make a request.
Okay. Oh. Go for it. Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't know this video was going to be like, oh my God, why is it telling me? Okay, come on.
Yeah,
come
technical on. Difficulties. I love it. I don't miss this part. Yes.
It's a recorder.
Wait for it. Wait for the lo-fi 70s funk to kick in.
Yes.
Come on.
I mean, this, again, this is great for on the yacht, but a 70s taxi cab, it just didn't do it for me. I like the range of opinions on this show.
Less recorder, and you're good with it, Pat?
Parker, mute your mic. No one wants to. No one wants to hear this. I don't need two against one.
All
right,
guys. Well, you guys have fun playing this music yourself. I'm out of here.
Come back, Parker. We missed you already.
On this day in 1962, President Kennedy delivered at Rice University the infamous "We Choose to Go to the Moon" speech. Nailed that one by 1969. Let's see. This is the anniversary of the birth of Barry White, born this day in 1944. See, now, Greg will do a lot of Michael McDonald impressions. I didn't know if you were going to go down for Barry or not and go get that.
Really, I feel like unless you can really nail that voice, anything less than peak Barry White is disrespectful.
But
I'm like, I just talk about anything I want in the world. Yeah.
But, you know, the one good thing about getting a head cold, if you get the kind of head cold that brings your voice way down, when you can do the Barry White, only when you're sick and you're like, how come I can't make my voice do this when I'm healthy? Well, you just can't. So
I'll do my Barry White impressions at 5:30 in the morning for about 12 minutes. Then I have to move on.
That's your warm-up for the day.
See, brand new commenter on YouTube.
Oh, boy.
Leaf going, if that hadn't been used in Taxi, it would have been the intro to a soft porn movie on early Cinemax. Leaf, off the top rope!
And you know what? That film, yes, I said film.
film, yes.
Would be respected for that. It's a bold choice. It's a bold choice.
Leaf, that was beautiful. God. Thank you. The late Neil Peart, drummer for Rush, was born this day in 1952. Singer-songwriter Ben Folds is 59 years old today. Jennifer Nettles from Sugarland turns 51 years old today. Got that kind of, if you took Reba McEntire and exaggerated it a little bit and like almost too much,
if you made Reba McEntire stay up real late and record.
Yes, exactly. Let's see. Emmy Rossum, actress, you know her from Shameless. She's 39 years old today. On this day in 1910, the country's first known female police officer, Alice Wells, was appointed by the LAPD. Again, that was this day back in 1910.
Woke.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Jennifer Hudson. She turns 44 years old today. Got Sydney Sweeney, who turns 28 years old today and has a new movie out today where she portrays a boxer. Let's see, singer Kelsey Ballerini has a birthday today. She is 32. Oh, let's see, on the national day calendar, this is Chocolate Milkshake Day.
Oh,
approve. I like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I haven't had a good old-fashioned chocolate milkshake. I mean, I'll get one at McDonald's, nothing against them or anything, but yeah. You know the kind I'm talking about where it's really rich and chocolatey.
The key is when they bring the steel can and pour it into syrup. The glass cup.
Oh, yes, the canister. Yes.
Yeah, the canister, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
The way they used to do it. There used to be all these ice cream places like Bridgman's and Farrell's and other places like that. And we don't have a good ice cream joint like the way that we used to in a lot of places.
Yeah, and I think we've had this discussion before too. If there was one that would be open, actually, there's a nice place in Racine actually down here downtown.
There's some here in Chippewa Falls. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. But if that happened, it would just be a bougie, expensive deconstruction of a vanilla milkshake. That's $14.
Yeah. Yes, there is that. I know. Let's see. This is National Day of Encouragement. So,
Parker, go for it.
There you go. There's your encouragement for the day. It is, of course, National Policewoman Day. It's International Stand Up to Cancer Day. And then the one I wanted to pick Greg's brain on is this is National Video Game Day.
Yes.
And not for any particular reason. So it really should have been yesterday when we were talking about the Atari 2600.
Oh.
So now we get a call back to yesterday's conversation, drag Greg into it, whether he wants to or not. What was your history on video game consoles?
Disappointing, things? Pat, I must say. I, you know, to this day, I feel very left out of the game. we had Atari, we had Coleco, we had Nintendo, and that was it. I mean, I have a PS3 at home. We never play it. I just don't have... Video games went from Super Mario Brothers, where I could solve it in like an hour, to now it's like... Games require 50 hours, 10 to 100 hours of play. I'm like, who can do that?
It's Pac-Man. It was so simple. You could be dead within 60 seconds. Pong. That's a real video game there.
Yeah.
Greg Bach is with us here. And in our next hour, we will, of course, have our Week in Review panel. Live from the lake, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Introducing the new Dell AI PC, powered by the Intel Core Ultra processor. It helps do your busy work for you, so you can fast forward through editing images, designing presentations, generating code, debugging code, summarizing meeting notes, finding files, managing a schedule, and responding to Jim's long emails. Leaving all the time in the world for the things you actually want to do. No offense, Jim. Get a new Dell AI PC at Dell.com/AI-PC. How those ahead stay ahead.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government high-end for the people. September 4th, Native Nations asked the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the longstanding right of individuals to bring voting rights complaints to federal court. If the High Court takes the case, its decision could have consequences for voting rights protections under the Voting Rights Act. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians and the Spirit Lake Nation negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts which didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit Court decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. The decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the VRA. Of 450 VRA Section 2 cases since 1982, only 18 were brought by DOJ. May 14th, a three-judge appeals panel affirmed that decision, but still only for the Eighth Circuit. After a July 15th stay, the nations asked the High Court on September 4th to take the case. Spirit Lake Nation Chair Lana Jackson Street said, "It is shameful that when we succeeded in court and got a fair map in place, the state turned its attack toward the Voting Rights Act and a person's right to vote free from discrimination. We need the Supreme Court to protect our fundamental right to vote and be heard." We have our past reports on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for the September 11th, 2025. I have your host, James, here, welcoming back to the studio our good friend, Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW Division of Extension, Wood County. Janelle, good to have you in studio.
You know, it's good to be back. I always enjoy our conversations.
It feels like it's always been forever since we get to talk. And I make no bones about this. I'm very honest with the audience. I learn every time you're here. My favorite thing to do is learning. So it's always great hanging out with you. And then you bring a topic here that is right in my wheelhouse, one I love so much. And the changing of the seasons and the changing of these leaves and foliage and fall leaf color changes. We're going to dive into that today.
Yeah. You know, I think... when I think about this time of year and I think about the leaves changing their colors and the whys and the hows that it all happens, you know, I get kind of excited because I'm always really, really interested in learning lessons from Mother Nature. And when we really dig into the whys and the hows of the leaves changing their colors this time of year, there's a real powerful lesson there that I'm really excited to share, and I hope that the listeners will dig the whole what we're going to be talking about today. So talking about it, fall color change and why it happens. And so, you know, basically what happens is you've got these different, when we're looking at a leaf in the middle of summertime, what we see is the color green being reflected back into our eyes. But that's not the only pigment that's in that leaf, right? There's also some orange pigments and yellow pigments and red pigments too, right? So that color change that we see right now, those pigments were always there. It's not like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there was an injection in the leaf of red color. Instead, what happens is this time of year, the plants that lose their leaves, those plants know, you know, hey, winter's coming. And the whole reason why they lose their leaves is because if they maintain those leaves in a, you know, a growing state, a non-dormant state, they would lose too much moisture and that would cause the tree to die. So the whole reason why trees lose their leaves is so that way they don't lose extra moisture over the wintertime. Okay. So since they're going to have to lose their leaves, when the plant's kind of looking at those pigments and all the pigments that are there, the pigment that causes the green is really high in nitrogen, right? Well, nitrogen is a pretty high commodity in the plant world, right? Yeah, or in the natural world. And so Mother Nature's looking at, all right, we gotta ditch these leaves, but wait a second, there's something worth a lot of value in those green pigments. And so the plant basically just reabsorbs all of that nitrogen, right?
It's amazing.
So the plant's reabsorbing that nitrogen and it's taking it back inside of the, so that way it could store it for next year, right? And in the meantime, so what we're seeing is either the yellow pigments or the red pigments that were always there the whole time. I really get excited about this because I think, you know, there's a lesson there of like taking a look at what Mother Nature's doing. She is not wasting a pinch. Mm-hmm. She's taking all of that nitrogen and recycling it. She's making use of it because she knows, hey, this is something that's valuable and we're not going to waste that.
I remember when it is so well said. I couldn't agree more. It's so unique and cool. And I loved seeing these parallels between things in life. And I remember when I was younger and I read that tiger stripes are on its skin. You know, you can shave a tiger down, it's still got stripes. The colors in these leaves remind me of that a bit. And also using, and maybe it's a bit of using the terminology pigment and stuff, it does remind me of us as people too. We talk about this all the time. No matter how we may look on the outside, we're all the same on the inside. It's just a nice reminder of that, I think, too. And very, very cool, by the way, too. If, for those that didn't know, that's going to blow your mind knowing that. Like, wait a minute, they're always that color? They got all those colors in there? It's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, something that I think that you were really, I would say, if you don't mind me saying so, ahead of the game on and everything, and something that has very become common now, we have known, you know, when we get to summer and not mowing and some of those things and the importance for our pollinators with that, talking about helping out our bees and some of these things. For me, if it wasn't my mom, it was you, the first person I talked to about this. And I think a lot of our audience might have been got into from. And one other thing that I wanted to get into, another thing I want to get into with you is something else that I don't know is as common, but I hope will be in talking about and making more of a normalized thing. And the idea of leaving the leaves. And I'm not saying this just because I have a bad back. That isn't the only reason. Okay, it's a tiny little percent of a reason.
Yeah, it's I love the phrase of it too, because it's so easy to remember. Leave the leaves, right? So the idea here is we're just thinking about how we do our maintenance in our landscapes. And the traditional wisdom of many, many decades before now has been in the fall, we need to make everything super tidy, right? We want to rake up all the leaves, put them in bags and either jump or put them in piles and either jump in the piles many times or, you know, bag them up and send them off to the city compost, or maybe just burn them if we live out in the country. But it's real, you know, idea that, you know, it's just absolutely, you know, locked up this time of year. We need to rake up those leaves. And what we're doing now is just kind of rethinking, why do we want to rake those leaves? Mm-hmm. What is the purpose, right? Are we just doing busy work? You know, is there a real need for this tidiness and what we think of as tidiness as being good, right?
Right, right.
So let's just pause for a second and think about what are some of the benefits of leaving the leaves in place, okay?
Yeah.
So number one, we could think of that as a natural mulch. You know, especially I'm kind of thinking about, in particular, inside perennial beds. And if we think about last year, we had a lot of both perennials, so herbaceous plants that aren't woody, but woody plants too. A lot of younger trees, not well-established trees or smaller shrubs that actually suffered a lot of damage this past winter because there wasn't a nice snow cover.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. New clues in the search for the gunman who assassinated conservative activist Charlie Kirk at Utah Valley University. Last night, the FBI released new surveillance images and video. CBS's Anna Schechter.
He raced across the top of the roof and then climbed down the side of the building and then proceeded to just walk next to a parking lot down onto the street.
Lawmakers in Washington boosting personal security after threats in the wake of Kirk's killing. Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace, who's running for governor of South Carolina, is backing off her schedule.
We will not be doing any public events anytime soon until we have a better handle on greater security controls.
In Brazil, celebrations in the streets after former President Jair Bolsonaro was sentenced to 27 years on a conviction of plotting to overthrow his country's government.